got his permission to leave the service.
Some people get all the breaks, don't they? What a joy it is to have you with us again this morning. And as I said the other evening, I don't take your presence for granted, but appreciate it so very, very much. The last chapter of a good book is always keenly anticipated. So we have arrived at the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. And if the chapter was given a title, I would just like to call it Ruth Redeemed. The elements of economic hardship, sorrow, death, readjustment, love have all come to a climax in the uniting of two lives. One, the life of a young widow from idolatrous Moab, and the other, an older individual, a wealthy landowner by the name of Boaz. Let's read the story and the final chapter of the book of Ruth, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again from the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony to Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and all that was Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. I love this verse. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like as the house of Pharaoh's, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, This there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, once again we've read from the inspired text. Once again we're so much aware of our need of thy presence. Please be with us during this hour, and may each of us just be shut in to thyself. May the other concerns of life be left outside. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This last and precious chapter seems to divide itself into 5 sections as far as I'm concerned. You may have others, but these are the ones I enjoy. There is that of rejection, verses 1-6. Then, praise God, there is redemption in 7-10. There is a request or a prayer in 11 and 12, while in 13-17, there is rest. And finally, there's the divine record in 18-22. Rejection, verses 1-7. Boaz, whose heart had been won, was now in a position, according to the customs of the day, to redeem or to purchase dear Ruth. And this was his desire. He would purchase her and all that she owned, and all that was owned by Naomi as well. Isn't it interesting that on the previous night, Boaz had startled Ruth when she made her proposal to him that he purchase her, that he make her his own. She did so, you remember, on the threshing floor. But now she has been startled to learn that there's actually a kinsman who is nearer to her than Boaz. And this put a totally new complexion on the situation. And we noted as Ruth went home to Naomi, she was very much concerned as she paced the floor. And Naomi said, now, look, just sit down. The man will not be at rest until this thing is settled. Boaz was concerned as well. How wonderful. And I'm thankful that my beloved Lord was not at rest until the great work of everlasting redemption had been accomplished and I was made his own for time and for eternity. As Naomi has encouraged her daughter-in-law just to rest and to wait. Well, the dawn has arrived. No doubt one of the first men at the gate of the city was a man named Boaz. It was at the gate that the important transactions of business, of commerce, and legal matters were settled. And so he is there with one objective, to meet with the man whom he knows is closer in kinship to Ruth than himself. And so he goes early to the gate of Bethlehem. Why go to the gate? Well, the gate was the best place to meet people in that day. You see, they would be going out of Bethlehem, out to their fields, out to another community, out to their threshing floors, and so on. And so, if you wanted to meet someone, that was the ideal place. And so, Boaz is there. Secondly, this was the place where, as I have mentioned, legal transactions were carried out. There was little room in the walled and compacted cities. The gate allowed people to gather, both at the gate and outside the town or the community. It really served as a public square without the square. It served as a marketplace. It was an ideal setting to meet and to do business with those you wish to do. Verse 1, behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came along, and with a voice that was loud, and I would suggest demanding attention, Boaz calls out, and he uses a rather unusual statement. He says, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. There's been much speculation as to who this man might have been. Some commentators have suggested he was a man by the name of Tobias. Be that as it may, Boaz attracted his attention, and back he came to the gate. And when requested by Boaz, he sat down to talk with him. It was obvious, I'm certain, that Boaz was concerned about the issue at hand. For then, having the ear of the other kinsman, he approached 10 elders of the city to be witnesses to that which was going to be discussed and transacted. And so they sit down together. The action was to take place. God was involved, and that's obvious. You remember back in the earlier chapters of this precious book, it says that Ruth just happened on the fields of Boaz. It may have appeared that way, but it wasn't happenstance. It was the movement of a sovereign God in the life of Ruth and Boaz. And such was the case here. Verse 1 says, he just happened to come along. No, he didn't happen to come along. He couldn't do anything else, because God wanted him to go out that gate. He wanted him to be seen by Boaz. And so it was. I'm reminded of the passage of Genesis 24:15. You remember when the servant commissioned goes to find a bride for Isaac. There he has come to the spot and the well and all, and he just breathes a prayer to God that the first one to come out would be the bride for Isaac. Before he finishes his prayer, Rachel came out. Did she just happen to come out? Never. She came out in the plan and purposes of the Holy. And beloved, I'm just simple enough to believe that there are times in your life and in mine when we do things, but we might not even know why we do them. Why we do them that way and at that time. But in retrospect, we look back and we say, God led me. God was in it. Remember what the word said? I being in the way, the Lord led me. No greater luxury known to man than to be in the mind of God and be submissive to it. Helen and I have had the joy of entertaining many men and women of God in our home. And one I consider as such is our brother William MacDonald. You will agree, I know. It was Monday morning, and we have the practice where at the close of a meal, we commit the balance of the day to the Lord. So, turning to Bill, I said, "Bill, would you be kind enough to ask God's blessing on the day?" He bowed his head, and this was his entire prayer. "Lord, we have come this morning to exchange wills. Amen." Brethren and sisters, isn't that it? To be in His will, not mine, His. And so we had been led to come and exchange wills with our God. And so Boaz is in the mind of God. This was no accident. This was the omniscient God, the omnipotent God as well at work. And at Boaz's invitation, the fellow kinsman sits down, and Boaz, in the presence of these 10 witnesses, explains the entire situation to them. He states that he and his colleague are the only possible kinsmen for Ruth and for Naomi. He tells of Naomi, the wife of Elimelech, the one who had lived in their community, and no doubt they knew how she had returned from Moab, having lost the field they previously owned through no doubt indebtedness. And now she has come back, and she is desperately in need of a kinsman, someone to buy all that she had owned, and herself included. And so the situation is explained to this unnamed. And as he hears it, he says, I'll buy it. I'll be the redeemer. I'll be the kinsman redeemer. If Ruth had been present that day, and I'd like to think she was, I'm sure her heart must have sank. She had come to know Boaz, and I believe as a discerning young woman, she knew that there was love in the eyes of this man. And the reverse was true. Boaz saw it in her eye as well. No doubt this was the pivotal point. Tension fills the air, and the crowd is hushed. What is the next move of Boaz? Again, I believe, beloved, in the plan of God. Boaz says in verse 5 and 6, is it? Why, then, he says, when thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. What a sense of relief. A sigh of pleasure must have worked its way through the company of those gathered there that day. He simply says, I can't redeem it. It's beyond me. To do so would be to mar mine own inheritance. One cannot help but think of the law. The law and the demands of the law. There was no redemption in the law. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Paul said, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but it couldn't effect redemption. It showed us our sin and our iniquity. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, that we might walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law was of total and completely ineffective. And so I think I see in this unnamed the law in all of its weaknesses. But as far as Boaz was concerned, as far as this man of wealth was concerned, this man of integrity and of position, why, he was able to redeem Ruth and all that she included. Boaz was prepared to satisfy the demands, shall I say, of the law. What that man couldn't do, Boaz could. And what the law couldn't do for you and me, beloved, our heavenly kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to do, and for this we praise and thank him. He was able to redeem us, that from out from under the law, we might be freed from the law and its penalty, through the one who bore the penalty and paid the price. But in 7 to 10, we have redemption. There was an early and very interesting practice in this situation that when one refused to redeem, that the refuser had to sit down before the one who was ultimately to redeem, and the refuser took off his sandal or his shoe and gave it to the other. Something very significant here. In those days, the sandal represented power. It represented possession. It represented domination. And so, he forfeits it to another. Beloved, once under the law and condemned by the law, we've been released from its power. Now, we are under the domain and the dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz was assuming the demands of the law, and he would pay, as our Savior paid, for us at the place called Calvary. Just as Jesus met the demands of the law and paid the price for our sin, so Boaz announced his intention to purchase Ruth and all that belonged to her and her former husband. I love verse 10. Look at it with me. As he says, moreover, he's been talking about these other things. I've bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion and all that was Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. And that was interesting and important. But that wasn't the most important. Moreover, oh, the emphasis that the text places on it. Moreover, Ruth, lest there be any doubt about it. It's Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. How wonderful. It was a clear declaration that Ruth was going to be his wife. And all that she possessed now was going to come under the possessing care of Boaz, the man of wealth. Oh, beloved, when our Lord Jesus Christ purchased you and me at Calvary, what did he do? He purchased everything. They used to say, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything that we had, he claimed it by his redemptive work at Calvary. He put it so beautifully himself when he said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go out and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You didn't choose me. Oh, I know there was a way in which we did. But we were chosen by him before the foundations of the world. Think about it. Work it out in your own mind if you can. I certainly don't have the mental process. But what's the point? Before he set the plumb line on the universe, before he flung the stars from his fingertips, he chose you. He chose me. I don't know what that does to you, dear child of God, but it thrills my soul to think that down through the labyrinthian path of time, he could look and see you and me and say, I'm going to redeem that man. I'm going to redeem that one when they place their faith and confidence in me. And in this we rejoice. So much happened by that simple, beautiful statement. I have purchased to be my wife, mine. How wonderful. No longer would she be treated with disrespect as a Moabitess. She was now a wife of the wealthy Boaz. She's mine, he said. And in this, there is a sense, I'm sure, of satisfaction and delight on his part. Boaz made a twofold declaration. First, she's mine. Number two, she's going to raise up children to the name of the dead. Beloved child of God, you and I have been redeemed. We have been bought to drift through life, never, but to see men and women saved through our witness and our testimony. Men and women born into the family of God. What happened? Ruth became the redeemed bride of Boaz. They looked at her. No doubt as they would talk throughout the community, they would say, wasn't that a wonderful experience when Ruth became the bride of Boaz? We can go them one better, can't we? You and I are part of the blood-bought bride of Christ. It all happened that wonderful day when the Lord died for us on a cross, and then when we personally accepted him as Lord and Savior. Think of it. Part of the bride of the man Christ Jesus. And you and I rejoice in that precious relationship. No longer would Ruth bear the name that came from idolatrous Moab. You and I too have a new name. We're known as Christians. Christians. You remember, it was at Antioch that they were first called Christians. The Antiochians had a habit. They gave everybody a nickname. And here were these people who had put their trust in and were following the teacher, Jesus from Nazareth, the Christ. And so they gave them nicknames and they said they were little Christ. Then they reformed the name to be called Christian. What a name. What a name. We're Christians this morning. Why? We're little Christ. We belong to the one who died for us. And in this, we rejoice. I wondered a moment ago if Ruth was at the gate. I'd like to think she was. And with intense interest, she would watch every face. She would listen to the inflection in every voice. And she would just hope and pray as her hopes rose and fell and then rose again. Finally, it's obvious she's going to be the wife of Boaz. And Boaz has a price to pay. And the price is given. Ruth becomes hers. If the next day you'd met Ruth on the streets of Bethlehem and said to Ruth, "Ruth, how much did Boaz actually pay for you?" She would say, "Well, so many shillings," or whatever. Beloved, we will never, never know the price that our great kinsman paid for us. It was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to him. We are encouraged to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit. Why? Because they're God's. You see, you don't belong to you. I don't belong to me. We belong to the one who purchased us with his own precious, precious blood. And so, Ruth at the city gate was bound for life to Boaz. And we have been bound by the cords of redemptive love to our Lord Jesus Christ, never, never to be severed or separated from him. How wonderful. Paul, in his Roman epistle, deals so effectively with that precious truth, doesn't he? "For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." How wonderful. Without blemish, without spot. But notice verses 11 and 12 and the request. And the joy and the exuberance that must have been felt and expressed at the gate that day. Why? All the people in verse 11 that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and Leah, which two did build the house of Israel." What a request they made of God. That Ruth and Boaz would be blessed in the great line that was leading up eventually to the Messiah. And in this, they rejoiced. The woman, no longer the Moabitess. Now, new position and identity. God had heard and answered that request. And there was rest in 13 to 17, Ruth 1 and 9. Naomi's suggestion to Ruth and Orpah that each of you go back and find rest in your homes and your houses, the houses of your husband, go back to your mothers. Find the rest of a husband and a home. Orpah had gone. Never read another word about her. But Ruth elected to go for God, and she did. And what happened? We read her name in the family tree of our beloved Lord, Jesus Christ. Ruth had found rest, as her name suggests, satisfaction in the house of her husband and her lover, Boaz. Named, as far as Ruth rather was concerned, she did give birth to a son. The true meaning of her name was realized as the one satisfied. This was the desire of every Jewish, or every woman in Judaism, to bear a son, and hopefully that he would be or lead to the Messiah. And so Ruth appreciated this, that she was able to bear a son. Little did she realize the full significance. Why? We read here that she did bear a son, and they named him the women. Isn't it interesting? Would any of you, dear sisters, have your neighbors name your child? I'm sure if you're like my wife, you wouldn't. Well, as far as they were concerned, they named the child of Ruth Obed. Obed. And there was obviously spiritual sensitivity here in the process, because his name would mean restoration. Eventually, through him, David would come. Eventually, through him, our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. And what would happen? All of lost mankind, centuries past and unborn, would be restored to God by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Obed, the restorer. Ye have not chosen me, I have mentioned, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Ruth brought forth fruit, physical fruit, in the person of Obed. Beloved, you've been encouraged, as have I, to bring forth spiritual fruit. Are we doing it? Somebody says, well, Arne, let's face it, I'm as old as you and my opportunities are pretty remote at this point. No, they're not. You still, beloved, know the luxury of a meaningful prayer life. Know what it is to cry to God for souls. I am confident that many souls that some of us here have seen won to the Savior, there was really very little to do with us. But there were those behind the scenes who were praying for that one, maybe praying for you in your witness. And God in his goodness saved souls. Continue in it. May God bless you as you do. The great General Booth, as he lay on his deathbed, made this statement. When one comes to the end of life, he realizes there is only one thing worth living for, and that is winning souls to Christ. Was he right? You want to believe he was right. Certainly was. But then there's the record in 18 to 22, the genealogy. The son born to Ruth became the grandfather of the great King David. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. So reads Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And verse 16 of Matthew 1 says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ, from oblivion to be placed in the royal line of the Messiah. That was Ruth. Little did she realize it, I'm sure, when she stood on the border between Moab and Judea, and made the decision to go with Naomi, that God would so richly bless her. What a woman. What a redeemer. Beloved, what a redeemer is yours and mine. The great love story of Ruth and Boaz will be remembered throughout all eternity. Not only because of its own special uniqueness, but also because of its part in the greatest of all love stories, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners like you and like me. In this story of redemption, we see our beloved Lord coming to redeem. He had the purpose and objective to make us his very own. True, it would cause him and cost him confinement in a virgin's womb. There would be the vicarious death.